Good morning and welcome to the next installment on the series that I'm doing on truth. What is truth is what I've entitled this series, quoting Pilate, the cynic against the idea that there's any truth in spiritual realms. I conducted a men's fellowship early in the morning this morning, and we discussed this at some length about truth. And interestingly, that in all areas of modern life, we understand that there are absolute truths that govern the physical world. We understand that, and I think the average person accepts the fact that there are absolutes in math, in science, in chemistry, in biology, in any of our technological areas. We know that truth has to be absolute, and it has to be the same everywhere you go, whether it's here in this country or in another country in the world, or even if you send a spaceship off to some other planet in the solar system, all of the truths that govern the physical universe remain the same. When I was growing up as a new Christian, if you will, when I was 19, 20, 21, there was a group called Campus Crusade for Christ, and they used a little tract that I would approach somebody with, and the first page said, just as there are physical laws that govern the physical world, so there are spiritual laws that govern the spiritual world. And that's what I'm driving at today. The physical laws that govern the physical world, we have come to accept, and we have come to understand that they apply everywhere you go. And it's not subject to personal interpretations either. You must accept truth in those areas, math, science, physics, chemistry, etc. You have to accept them. It's not subject to somebody's interpretation, i.e., if I'm a Mexican, I can't disagree with an American about a mathematical equation. It has to be the same answer. Or I could give many different examples of this. But when it comes to spiritual truth, that's where the cynicism sets in, I think. And that's why Pilate said, oh, what is truth? Because even in his day, there was a sense of everybody says something different about the spirit realms. There was pagan religions, there was Greek philosophers, there was Roman philosophers, there were Jewish theologians, there were pagan ideals and Greek ritual and Babylonian and Egyptian. So when it came to spiritual, and it still does, comes to spiritual truths, there's this almost surrender in the minds of mankind to the notion that there could be any absolute in that area concerning truth. In other words, it seems to be an accepted position that in the spirit realms, whatever you think about it is truth for you. And that is a problem, because the Bible is presenting the spiritual truths that God has as absolutes. We have no trouble accepting the fact that those are true in the physical realms. But when it comes to the spiritual realms, for some reason, there's this great divorce from rationality. And I think we need to change that. We need to try to approach people on the basis of there are truths. And the truths about God and eternal life and the afterlife, and they're real, and we can know them. So when the Bible and the Lord God and Jesus Christ and the apostles and the Christian church, at least in its inception, present truth, they're presenting it as absolute, not as something debatable. And that is a premise where we must start from. We can discover truths spiritually just as we have discovered truths physically. In the discovery of physical truths, you don't even have to be a Christian to discover them. The reason there are physical truths in this world that we live in is because God put them there. So you might be an absolute pagan, atheist, agnostic, and discover some scientific, mathematical truth or in physics and in biology and astronomy, you might discover something that's true. And the only reason it's true is because God put it there. There's an old saying when I was being discipled as a new Christian that says, all truth is God's truth, no matter who discovers it. So we can discover truth physically. Why can't we discover truth spiritually? The reason is that the standard for truth in the world system, that is, in the philosophies, religions, and solutions that mankind has to offer, there's the notion that there is no absolute in that area, but that is a non sequitur. It doesn't follow that there are physical truths that are absolute. We all accept them, whether you're Chinese, whether you're Canadian, American, Mexican, or European. It doesn't matter. It applies everywhere you go. But spiritual truths, for some reason, while your culture believes this or your religion believes that, and that's true, that's okay for you, there's a problem with that. So I'm trying to approach this whole subject on the premise that there are spiritual truths that are absolute truths, and we need to see them in the Bible. Now, you may hear this sermon and listen and say, no, I totally disagree with this. Okay, that's your prerogative to disagree. However, if it comes to you jumping on a jet airplane and trusting our technology and our advances in science and how we understand how to do those kinds of things, you're trusting in those truths. Somebody discovered how to do that. Somebody discovered how to make it possible for you to jump in your car and drive, you know, almost 100 miles an hour down the street. And you totally accept that. So I would like to challenge you about spiritual truth. When it comes to spiritual truth, just because you disagree doesn't make it wrong. And the Bible is actually going to present spiritual truth in a way that isn't subject to personal interpretation. The Apostle Peter talks about this in his epistle. He says, none of the prophecies of Scripture were the subject of any personal interpretation. So personal interpretation or even personal reaction to what the Bible teaches, you must lay that aside. You must lay it aside or else you won't be able to accept these truths. When you were studying, I don't know, algebra, trigonometry, geometry, physics, whatever subject you, or history, whatever subject that you really didn't like and it was real difficult for you to understand, you had to at least achieve the bare minimum to get a passing grade. And you had to subscribe to the truths that were discovered in that area. So there is a revealed truth that God has given, and it is contained in the Scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and it is a revealed truth. God doesn't act outside of the context of truth that is revealed. When you study a subject, let's say math, you have to start at the basics of that subject because it builds line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible even speaks of that concerning its own self, that's how you learn the things of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how you learn language. That's how you learn math. That's how you learn anything. Whatever career field that you went into, you learned the basics first. You learned how to drive that way. You learned how to talk that way. You learn the basics, and then you become more and more able to function in that particular area. So in spiritual truth, there is a consistent understanding of this, okay? And if you subscribe to this, if you submit to this, God will help you to go forward in leaps and bounds ahead in spiritual truth. If you don't, then he can't teach you. So in Psalm 25, the psalmist says here, verse 4 and 5, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. The attitude has to be one of willingness to learn, willingness to put oneself under the teaching of the master teacher and be taught the things of God. So let's look. Truth, I've already said this, and please go back. We're in part 3. Go back and listen to the other 2 parts. I'm trying to keep a cognizant flow in this series. It's personified in Jesus Christ. I've said this before. God is love, the Bible says. It doesn't have love. He is love. God is truth here. He's not saying he has some truth and that guy has truth and that religion has truth and that philosophy has truth. He is saying in a very definitive way that he himself is truth, That is to say, from the perspective of God, that all truth, whatever that truth is, even the truths that non-believers have discovered about the physical universe, they're there because it proceeded forth from the person who is truth. That is God. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and you have seen him." Jesus, of course, here is speaking of spiritual truth. However, I'm trying to show you also that all truth issues from this being called God. All of it, all truth, it comes from him. Now, you would do well, I think, to allow the Lord God to teach you the truths of the spirit realms, because if you submit yourself to the master of truth, God, it'll help you in every area of life, whatever area you are in, whether you're in math, in physics, in business, in relationships, whatever area you are in, medicine and technology. I believe that if you allow yourself to be subject to the one from whom all truth comes from, you'll be better at anything you do. Okay, so truth is personified. That is to say, it isn't a thing, it is a person. Truth is a person, and that person is the Lord. As truth personified, Jesus Christ reveals this, that there's only one true God. What he reveals is that there is only one God. Not many gods, not a pantheon of gods, not major gods and lesser gods. There is one true God. When you meet Jesus Christ, you meet God. You meet him in human form, that is to say. He reveals to you the very nature and the heart motivations that God the Father has. If you want to know God, you have to know Jesus. You cannot say, "I believe in God, I just don't believe in Christianity." You can say that, but if you say that and if you believe that, then you don't know God, because God has chosen to reveal himself through his Son. In John 17, this is what's called by theologians the high priestly prayer, where Jesus Christ prays to God. It's one of the longest recorded prayers we have of Jesus Christ. And John the Apostle records it. He lifts up his eyes and he prays. And in part of this prayer, he says, "Thou hast given him," he's praying about himself, "power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So what does truth reveal to you? What Jesus wants to reveal to you and will reveal to you, if you're willing, is that there is a God and there's only one true God. And once that happens in your life, everything changes. Everything changes because you stop fighting with the notion of God being in existence at all. You stop striving with that at all, and you just accept that this is a true reality, that God is God and there's only one God. And once you know this, it really kind of sets you free from all of the smoke and mirrors that the world and false religions and many myriads of religions, even Christianity, with all of its spin-offs of denominations and theological positions and interpretations. Once you subject yourself to God's truth through Jesus Christ, you become free from all of that confusion. You start seeing things very clearly if you allow the Lord to show you. So his will is, look at this prayer, that you would have eternal life. What's eternal life? It's not a, eternal life is not a linear thing that forever and ever and ever and ever, day after day after day after day. That would be boring, actually. Eternal life is described in the Bible as something of tremendous quality. Jesus said it this way, "You need to come unto me that you may have life and have it abundant." So eternal life is the full expression of life in all of its facets. Everything, when you have the eternal life of God, you have everything. When you go into eternity with God, if you yield your heart to him and become saved, and you go into the very presence of this being called God, the fullness of your life will be so tremendous that you'll be almost stunned how much life God is giving us, not just never dying, but in having the fullness of life, understanding spiritual. There's no fighting between spiritual and physical realm anymore. It'll all be ours. The Bible says in the epistles of Paul that because you are Christ's, all things are Christ's, therefore all things are yours. So you and I as believers, if you're one, if you're a believer, you actually own all things. God owns how much? He owns the whole universe, seen and unseen. Since he has adopted us into his family, if you become Christian, then everything that he owns is yours. You have all things. That also means you have all knowledge through God. He'll share with you the very knowledge of everything that is. It's just stupendous. So truth personified reveals to us the only true God. The knowledge of God is truth itself. Truth isn't a static idea that you have over here that you have to strive for. Truth is knowing that there is God. Because once you settle that, all of the rest of learning truth is a lifelong, and if you ask me, since we'll never be God, we'll always be learning of the immense person of God. We know that the Son of God has come. This is 1 John 5:20. And hath given us, this is the Apostle John speaking to Christians, so he's saying us, who are Christians, he's given us understanding. Okay, what kind of understanding? That we may know him that is true. So that you may know that God himself is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. How are you Christian? How are you in the family of God? It is through Christ. So being in Christ, you now have direct relationship with the true God. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. So knowledge of God, that is to say, when you come to the final understanding that, yes, there's a God. Yes, this God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And yes, Jesus Christ is in my life. That is truth. Now, there are a lot of things that compete for our attention about truth. Many, many different people and religions and philosophies and even technology seem to be in contradiction to the truths of God. May I say that even though it seems that way, it's not true. Only God is true. All truths come from God, even the idea of where we came from and where we're going. The notion that we came into existence by ourselves or through a process of zillions and billions of years, through processes of evolution, that's all a smokescreen that was cast to humanity as some kind of a scientific approach to explanation of things. At the end of all of that, many people who subscribe themselves to that will be very disappointed because they think that in the accumulation of knowledge and science and technology without God, that they have discovered truth without God. All they have discovered is that there are truths in the physical world, and those truths have tremendous power and tremendous predictability. But they miss the greatest truth of all, that truth came from this being called God. And if they would simply submit themselves to this God, their knowledge would exponentially increase. You would become Stephen Hawking times zillions, okay? God's truth sanctifies his people by his word. Sanctify them through thy truth. This is continuing in that prayer, Jesus praying to God the Father before he goes to the cross. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified in the truth. Okay. This is another concept. Thy word is truth. Okay. If you have studied the Gospel of John at all, it begins with the statement, in the beginning was God. That's also the statement in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the first page of the Bible, the first few words of the Bible, in the beginning was God. So then it says in the Gospel of John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when Jesus says, Sanctify them through thy truth, God. Thy word is truth. He's speaking of the fact that when you come to God through Jesus Christ, you are coming to God through the truth. He himself is the truth. Now, in coming to God through Jesus Christ, he begins opening up to you an understanding that probably will never end. You'll continually learn and learn and be more and more exposed to the magnitude of the intelligence of this being called God. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Okay, there is no question that when you think about the world and about religious truth, religious and spiritual truth, there is a plethora of belief and religion and expressions of beliefs and religion, and they seem to morph all the time. And it's so hard to stay in front of the curve. And that's why I think we get like Pilate, oh, what's truth? Everybody says they know this, they know that. Nobody knows. And a lot of us just throw up our hands and surrender and say, forget it. I can't figure it out. There's too many people saying that they know it all. And that's, you're listening to a sermon that's also trying to explain this to you as well. I am not the end of all truth. I, as a teacher and preacher, no preacher should ever present themselves that way. I don't know everything, but I know the one who does know everything. And so when he says, sanctify them, what this means is take them and set them apart. That's what the word means, set it apart for a use that is special. Sanctify them. So once you allow the Lord to be in your life, he actually takes you and calls you, kind of like, this is my favorite cup. And I pour my favorite drink in this favorite cup. So you're sanctified for a special use. So what he does with that special sanctification is he begins to infuse truth into them. And that truth is through the person of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Word, his Word, okay? Remember, in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So when he says, thy Word is truth, he's speaking of himself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So it sounds like it's a backwards way of approaching truth. Like first I have to submit to, yeah, I'm a sinner, I need God, and in God I need to accept what Jesus did for me on the cross. Then he starts to open up everything to you. It's not backwards at all. It's also it's the way he set up all learning. All learning starts in the basics. The most basic fundamental human need is to come to the realization that I need God. I, a man or a woman or a child, I need God. How do I find God? Well, if you're really earnest and sincere about it, he will lead you, the Holy Spirit will, to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will reveal to you the true God. And once you know the true God, he begins the process of helping you to learn more and more. And that's what that word means, sanctified. That is, you begin to grow, you begin to develop, you begin to become more expertise. To have more expertise in the areas of spiritual truth, if you let God help you do this. That's the way it is in any subject that you learn. When you learn, let's say, music, how do you start learning music? By listening. You listen and then you practice. When I was in beginning band and I took my first instrument home and I blew my first note on the saxophone, everybody in the house said, go to the basement. So I did. I went to the basement and the dogs would howl. Okay. But eventually I became able to play on stage in front of people. So you learn one note at a time. You learn fingering. You learn how to read music. You learn how to even express music individually. It's just amazing. Now, in any area of learning, any area, if you want to become a doctor, you start off with the basics. You want to become a nuclear physicist, you start off with the basics. Because if you don't, if you miss something in the basics, you have to go back and do what's called a remedial course in order to fill in whatever was missing. You forgot, you didn't learn this particular principle or this formulae so that you can then go forward. You need to learn all of this stuff. Spiritually, the same thing. Sanctification is that. Yeah, you come to God. I'm a sinner. I think most people do come to the, I am a sinner. I need him. I've made a lot of mistakes in life. But then, oh, now I'll get saved. And that's where they stop. Okay, I'm saved now. I'm good to go. Yes, when you're saved, you are good to go. But then God wants you to move forward in what's called here sanctification. How does it happen? Through learning truth. through learning truth, your life begins to broaden, expand, and you become more and more rounded out. Just like Jesus Christ when he was a young boy, it says he grew in knowledge and in stature before God and man. He learned how to walk. He learned how to talk. He learned how to interact with the scriptures. He learned how to grow in relationships, all of that. He learned everything that you and I had to learn. So it's the same thing for any one of us. There's no special exception. Truth isn't going to suddenly descend upon you and some kind of nirvana moment happens, and I know everything. It doesn't work that way. That's not how you learn any truth. Everything that we ever learn in this world is learned by first going to the basic class and then going on and on up in levels till you reach master class status. And then you yourself, hopefully, if you're called to a certain field, you become a master in that particular area. And then you can teach that to other people. Truth must be understood in the context of revealed scripture. This is crucial here. Truth isn't a standalone thing. Truth isn't something that is arrived at by that person over here and that person over there and that person over there. Now, granted, different people in any subject that they study learn or suddenly become aware of a truth at different speeds, okay? Some people in, like, say, math, they just boom, 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 they really get it. Others really, really struggle to get it. But they all have to eventually come to the same conclusion about whatever that mathematical principle is, or any subject. Now, truth spiritually is revealed in context. God does not give special truths to special people. Like all of a sudden somebody says, oh, I got a new revelation and it's different from everything else. It's out of context. Because if it isn't something that fits into the whole revealed truths that God has given, then it won't fit at all. Like if suddenly somebody said, oh, I discovered something totally new in mathematics and it totally blows out of the water anything that we knew before about mathematics, everybody would laugh them out of the room. You cannot discover a truth in mathematics and physics and whatever and then say that it is unique and therefore blows everything else out of the water about that truth, about that field. It has to work. It has to work with the whole revealed understanding of knowledge in whatever field. Same thing spiritually here. Truth must be understood in the context of revealed truth in the scripture. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, now look what this underlined part of the scripture says, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. Okay. What does this mean? Jesus is saying truth is available. You can learn it. However, it must be learned in context. You cannot be given some special truth that is just for you. That is one of the problems of the modern church today, where people have been taught and even misled to think that truth is relative to them. That is, they discover some spiritual truth that is different from everybody else, that is different from everything that the Bible says. And then nobody can dispute that because that's their opinion. In spiritual areas, we seem to accept that. Oh, well, you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. That's good for you. That's good for me. But in math, we don't do that. In science, we don't do that. In physics, we don't do that. In the table of elements, you can't take the table of elements and then go to China and say it's different over here. What if it was? What if every time we turned around from day to day, all of the principles and truths that we have discovered in the physical realms, what if they changed all the time? What if it was subject to anybody's interpretation? Like so-and-so over here, he says that 1 + 1 = 15. And then all of a sudden everybody has to go, oh, it's 15 now. Oh, what's it tomorrow? It's 20. It would be ludicrous. We wouldn't be able to do anything. We wouldn't be able to proceed forth and plan because truth would be constantly shifting. That's the problem in spiritual truth. The problem is that people have been led to believe that they can discover spiritual truth that is somehow out of context of everything else. Spiritual truths have been revealed by God since Genesis, that is, since the first human beings, Adam and Eve. They are there for us to discover. And if you're discovery of spiritual truth fits into all of the revealed truths that God has given over thousands of years of human history, then it is truth, okay? But it's not truth if it is in conflict. There's a saying in Revelation, for the spirits of the words of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That is to say that you have some kind of a revelation. It better fit with the rest of the scriptures, because if it doesn't, it's not from God, okay? So you need to believe in Christ in the context of revealed scriptures, and that's what Jesus is saying here. If you want to learn spiritual truth, you can come to me. And then people say, okay, I came, but now I believe in Christ this way. In Galatians, Paul said, you're believing in another Christ. You're developing your own idea of Christ. You must believe in the Christ of the scriptures, the Christ as revealed in the scriptures. He himself said, if you believe in me as the scripture says, then will the truths that are spiritual really start to flow from within you. Streams of living water will flow from within you. You must stay subject to revealed truth from the scriptures. If you don't, if you're one of those individuals who says, that's what you say, but I say this, then you're not teachable. Can't teach you anything, because you're unwilling to subject yourself to the truths of scriptures. All right. The truth of God comes from scripture. Now, the reason I'm belaboring this is because of modern church attitude, which is that truth for me is the Holy Spirit showed me this, and that's truth. But if it's not within the context of scripture, what I'm, if you will, challenging you with is this, then it's not truth. Because the truth of God actually comes from scripture. Look what Paul says to Timothy. He's a young pastor who Paul helped to disciple and eventually takes over teaching and preaching in the area of Ephesus. Now, he says this to Timothy in a letter. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, Timothy, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all of the truth of God is contained in the scriptures. And what are the scriptures? What we call the Holy Bible, Genesis through to Revelation. All scripture is God-breathed, that is to say, authored by God through the Holy Spirit. Yes, he used different people through time and through history to give us the 66 books of the Bible. But every single one of those books are the books that God sovereignly allowed humanity to have in their hands and call Holy Scriptures. Now, many other religions say that they have their own set of Holy Scriptures, which are in most cases, in all cases, I would say, in contradiction to the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Then if you are a true born-again Christian, you must put all of those things in subjection to the Scriptures, okay? So the truth of God comes from Scripture, not from your personal experience, not from you having some kind of a vision like Joseph Smith or Charles Taze Russell or Jim Jones or David Koresh. They have their own personal vision, and that's truth, and it's different than what everybody else said before them. Then it's not truth at all. Refusal of truth actually leads to myth and superstition. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, the same letter to the same man, Timothy, Paul the Apostle says this, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's they? Well, in this case, he's referring to the church, to the people in the church. To not endure it means they won't hold to it, they won't submit to it, they won't believe it anymore. Sound doctrine is tested truth, truth that is settled truth. We say that in law, settled law. That sound doctrine is that we have learned these things about God and they are sound. You can build on it. It's a solid foundation. They won't endure that anymore as time comes in the end of time. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. So what happens? Naturally speaking, we refuse the truth of God, and it leads us to believing myths and superstition. How does it happen? Oh, I want to do this. I really want to do this. And I want to find a teacher that will support my choice to do this. And I don't like to listen to the teacher that tells me that that's wrong, so I'm going to throw them out the window. I'm going to find a teacher that tells me that it's okay for me to live this way. And that's what's happening all around us, even inside the Christian church. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means they only want somebody to take away the itch out of their ear. They shall turn away their ears. That is, they turn their back, they shut their ears like this, and they won't listen to the Bible or the teaching of God or the teaching of the Christian church, and they shall be turned unto fables. Fables is another way of saying superstition or myth. The word mythos is the word there in Greek, mythos. So people will believe made-up stories instead of truth. What if we did that with math? What if we did that with science? What if we did that with any of the discovered areas of study? We would have big, big problems. But for some reason, we decide that we can do that with belief in God. Human nature trends away from truth. It's our nature to do so. There's a natural corruption. In the physical realms, it's called the second law of thermodynamics, where all things tend towards dissolution, towards decay. Okay? In spiritual realms, it's the same. You may discover these truths, but natural human tendency is to fall away, to decay, if you will, away from the truth. In Corinthians, it says this, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not, cannot, will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they, the things of the Spirit of God, they appear to be to him foolishness or her. I don't believe that. I don't think that's right. That's not right. Nor can he know the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. So human nature trends away from truth. You see this in your smartphone, or you get on your social media device, or you're streaming and it says, what's trending now? And you can see what everybody's like wanting to listen to. And we trend actually away from truth. You have to be careful of following the crowd in this. You need to follow the truth, because believers have the mind of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual judges all things. That is to say that a person who is a born-again Christian, who knows the Word, who is growing in the Word, they're able to discern all things, including when the world comes up with an alternate approach or explanation of reality. Oh, no, there's no God. It all came by itself and it evolved over billions of years. Well, I as a Christian have a way to deal with that. I can discern about that. I know what to do concerning their approach. They can say that, but I don't have to believe it. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's what I was trying to explain to you in the beginning, is when you surrender yourself to God in Christ, begins a process that is beyond understanding, because this being called God called into existence all of the physical universe, seen and unseen, the spiritual realms of creation, where the angels are, where God's throne is, that area we don't even see, and he made that too. That person called God has a mind, has an intellect. He is intelligent beyond all intelligence. You have his mind if you're a Christian. And if you submit yourself to this, you will grow exponentially. God does this for you when you are saved. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give to you a heart of flesh. I, God, will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the prophecy of the new covenant, which we are in now. This happens when you give your life to Christ and are saved. Now, different people grow at different rates, granted. However, all of us now have the potential to grow, not just in intellectual academic knowledge of God, but in every facet of life with God. So I'm just trying to whet your appetite concerning this. Some of my thoughts about this whole truth thing, and what set me off on this whole discussion was the fact that a few years ago, politically and socially, what happened inside of the United States caused a lot of consternation in believers. And I found myself being drawn into it. And then I decided to pull away from it all because it was too vitriolic and divisive. So I said, look, I know this. I know there's God. I know God's truth is real truth. I'm going to focus on that. And what that has done for me is caused me to have a much more balanced perspective on everything and understand that everything that we're living in here is a temporal thing and that we don't have to have such knee-jerk reactions to it all. But in submitting myself to the what's called sovereignty of God, his ability to control all things, even if they appear to be totally negative, that truth has really calmed my blood pressure, my anxiety, my anger. And I'm trying to share that with you as well so that you can have a sense of peace about everything that's happening, that no matter what's happening in this world, which changes its mind from day to day, it seems, you and I as Christians, we have a security that can keep us on solid feet, on a solid foundation. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the truth revealed in Scripture, that truth personified in the person of Jesus Christ. Now help us, Lord, as believers, wherever we're at, whatever level of study we are at, to apply ourselves to the Word, to the teachings of the Bible, so that we may grow, so that we may be sanctified, so that we may continue to have that fullness of life that you give through the truths of the Word spiritually. There's so much false teaching and interpretations, even of the Bible, even inside of Christendom itself. Even from pulpits, we'll hear differing approaches to the same passages. Help us as Christians, Lord, hold to your truth, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one else and nothing else. It's not one church or one preacher or one denomination. It's you. You are the fountain of all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.